You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
He's been good to me. I thank him for everything he's done. As you open your Bibles with me this morning, I want you to turn to two passages, and then I'm going to do some housekeeping stuff. 1 Timothy 1, 11 through 17. Then I want you to put your finger there, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. We have 11,000 eggs. We need 1,000 more. So if you haven't filled your eggs, please get those in. We need 4 more bikes to pass out. I know there's several people that have bought them. I would like a couple 20-inch bikes if we could do that. They're a little more expensive. I need 2 more. Put your name on the list back there if you can. There's a list out there for bikes. And so I'll be counting and checking them off. Last year we asked for 10, and I think we got 21 or 24 or something like that. That means 24 kids are coming to church on Sunday morning, because that's when they get their bike. We give them a Bible with each bike that they get, and that's more important to the bike than the bike. They don't realize that. I want you to put this in your notes. We're having revival. It's a joint church revival, May 30th through June 2nd. So it'll be the Thursday, the 30th, the 31st is a Friday. The first is a Saturday, and the second is a Sunday evening. They'll all be at 7 p.m. It'll be across from the fairground, or across from the high school, at the very front of Carl Radcliffe's parking lot. And so we'll have our praise team will be singing, a guy by the name of Jimmy Simpkins, other people will be singing. Carl Radcliffe will be preaching, I'll be preaching, a couple other ministers will be preaching. We'd love to have you there. We're going to try our best to get the whole community there. The tent, we think, will hold 400. We're going to try to have 1,000. What do you think? So, don't forget, if you are doing the baby dedication next week, I need your information by no later than Wednesday. All right? Do you have your Bible? If you have the passage, turn with me and say amen. All right. We're going to start reading. Has God been good to you? 1 Timothy 1:11, and according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before, catch this, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but obtained mercy. But I, he said, I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for the pattern to them which should therefore believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a couple moments. I'm not going to be long. Down is not your destiny. As we read this passage in Timothy, we see the aftermath of Paul's encounter with Jesus. Now, let's read it firsthand in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says, and Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of on this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Boy, I'm telling you, if you didn't know the Lord and didn't want anything to do with him, and you met him somewhere, wouldn't that change who you were? Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told unto thee what thou must do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today I pray, Lord, that you anoint me. And Father, more importantly, that you continue to slip out into this crowd and walk the aisles. And God, that you change them and transform them and bless them. Give them understanding and truth. Father, give them ears to hear and let them apply it to their word. Lord, I know there's a lot of charlatans out there, and I know there's a lot of fake, but in the name of Jesus, let this people see, Father, Lord, just how powerful you are. Lord, animate me, move on me, direct me. In Jesus' precious name, we'll never fail to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And everybody said, Amen. Mistakes are the price we pay for a full life. Sophia Loren said that. Vince Lombardi said, make a great statement. He made a great statement. He said, the issue is not if you get knocked down. The issue is, are you going to get back up again? The Bible says it the best in Micah 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light, or light unto me. In the book of James Dimmel, I would say, you take a licking and you keep on ticking. Amen? People don't like mistakes. They're degrading, they're hurting, they're embarrassing. Sometimes they're demeaning. Yet they are God's choice of catalyst to take us to the miraculous. Sometimes we got to make a mistake to understand. And listen, mistakes come into our lives to teach us. Think of the mistake that Thomas Edison made before he had the light bulb. He made mistake after mistake after mistake, but eventually we got light. Think of the failures the Wright brothers had when they tried a million times to fly and they couldn't. Their own father, who was a pastor, said, Hey, boys, if we were meant to fly, God would have gave us wings. But now you get on a jet and you fly. It's too expensive, but you fly. Think about the spiritual mistakes that you've made. Think about the secular mistakes that you've made in the world. And listen, God's just trying to get you to the spiritual. He's trying to get you to change. He's trying to transform your life. He's trying to move on you and get you to understand that you don't get it right all the time. He's the God that gets it right. He's truth. He's miraculous. He's mighty. Will you give him a hand clap of praise? I'm going to tell you something. The adversary wants to maul you and maim you and make you think that your mistake has got you down. But down is not your destiny. Broken is not your course. When you get a hold of Jesus Christ, he'll transform you. He'll speak life. And I'm not talking about a preacher doing it for you. I can't do nothing for you. But here's what I do know. That Jesus will lift you up when you're broken. He'll set you on a firm foundation when there was no firm foundation to be had. You used to walk in the swamp and you used to walk in the muck and the mire. But in the name of Jesus, you're coming out of this. The adversary wants to mock you. He wants to break you. He wants to leave you. Do you hear me? So that you can't reach God, so that you can't hear what God has to say. Sometimes we try to do it on our own. You ever tried to do it on your own? I can tell you that when I do it on my own, I fail. I fall down. I can't get myself together. But the moment that I call on Jesus, that's when things transform in my life. We need a God that'll transform us. Buddha couldn't transform you. Krishna couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ will lift you up. He'll heal you. He'll make you whole. You understand? The devil wants to keep you from reaching a new level of hearing God. In his own way, he's constantly making you feel like that you can't do it. You ever just feel like that? Satan wars in the mind. And I want you to understand that as he talks to you, you've got to fill your mind with the Bible, the Word of God. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It changes my direction. It changes how I act. It changes how I walk. Amen? It brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I need his light. I need it to shine on my path, because without it, I'm broken and messed up and in need of a Savior. Devil wants to keep you in sin. Mistakes should not maim you. Mistakes should not become a sinner's prison house. Listen, it'll hold you hostage if you let it. I'm not going any further until I get a response from people that have made some mistakes. Mistakes can be educational. They can be informative. They can give you a revolutionary understanding that you never had before. Remember, it was a mistake that Adam made that brought him a revelation of who God really was. He never knew. He walked with God in the garden. He talked with him, but he never knew. Adam had no idea what God wanted to do. He had no idea how long-suffering he was, how merciful he was, how gracious he was, how forgiving he was, how kind he was. God didn't have to be kind to him. He could have zapped him off the earth like that. But God, in his rich mercy, stepped into Adam's life and spoke something into Adam that Adam never knew. You know what released that understanding? The mistake he made. I wish I could get a witness right now. Anyone in the house ever made a big mistake? All of a sudden you were down and God woke you up and said, "Hey, stupid." I know he don't talk to you like that, but he talks to me like that. "Hey, stupid, wake up." God didn't write you off. He didn't leave you abandoned. Oh, I was saved by the grace of God. Not because I was good enough, because he was good enough. Hallelujah. But God. I could take this mic off and hand it all around this room, and you would tell your story, and you would tell how you were broken and the sin that you had and the mistakes that you made. But all of a sudden you would get to, "But God, in his rich mercy, changed me and transformed me and molded me and made me whole." Hallelujah. There are people that experience great dimensions in God that nobody else experiences because of their failure. Now, I'm going to be as nice as I can. You may have made a mistake, but you're not one. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you following what I'm telling? Down is not your destiny. Broken is not your course. Failure may be something that you've experienced, but it's not where you should stay. Down is not your destiny. He fixed me up. Oh, are you fixing to get back up? Are you fixing to experience a resurrection? Are you fixing to get rid of your sin? What are you fixing to do? I'm fixing to allow Jesus to move on me. Well, Pastor, that ain't even where I'm fixing. That sounds a little hillbilly. Well, I'm ready to be a hillbilly today because I want God to touch me and transform me. And I'm fixing to move out of this position. How about you? Down is not my destiny. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. Look, listen, this is what he called you. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know the mistakes that you made were God moving you closer to him? It was God talking to you. It was God directing you. It was God flowing through you. And listen, you may have mistakes. You may have sin. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you make a mistake, if you do something once, it's a mistake. But if you do something over and over again, the Bible says it's returning to your vomit. Listen, I don't want to return to my sin. I want to turn to Jesus Christ, who saved me and healed me and made me whole. Is there anybody in the house who's been made whole? A lot of us believe all this stuff that we've never experienced. There are so many things that we believe, so many things that we do. Let us have a crisis come. Let us make a mistake. You let a failure happen. This mistake opens the door to discovery, and you will find something about God that you never knew before. You'll find that he's gracious. You'll find that he's kind. People will tell you how dumb you are and how stupid you are for making a mistake. God will never bring it up to you. He lets you fall on him and cry to him and express who he is. Oh my God, listen, when he comes to you, it transforms who you are. You don't want to sin against him. You don't want to do anything bad because he has made me something I'll never be. The Bible says we are nothing but sinners saved by grace. Can I get rude for a minute? Some of us have made so many mistakes, we should be the best praisers in the house. Is there anybody in here that will worship with abandonment? It should be those of us who have made a mess and fallen flat on our face and said, I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have said this, and I shouldn't have went here, and I shouldn't have done that. But God, who is rich in mercy, He flows into us and gives us an understanding that, listen, I'm right here with you. You may have made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. You may be down, but that's not your destiny. You may think that you're a failure, but I'm here to pick you up once again. Oh, I'm having a hard time here. I was walking up the aisle this morning talking to people. You know, I don't get out of my office much in the morning. Somebody said, Pastor, burn the barn down. I have a word for you today. Down is not your destiny. I hear the prophets, Micah said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be the light unto me. When I sit in darkness, I'm thinking, God, I may be in the dark, but I know you can flip the script. I know right now that all you have to do is reach over and turn on the light. Listen, we need some people in the house that believe God just needs to flip the switch. Hallelujah. Listen, get your city saved. How am I going to do it? I made mistakes, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to call on the Lord. I'm going to believe that He's coming down and heaven's going to pour itself out on me. How many of you have raised children? When you raise a child and they're ready to walk, they fall down more than they're up. You don't damn them and condemn them and complain when they fall down. You say, come on, baby. You're doing so. I got some ice cream for you. And that baby's just trying to make their way. Don't you think that God doesn't know? That baby's just trying to, you're a baby just trying to make your way. And you look goofy. And if you go, when you got older, if you walked like that, you'd be embarrassed. But you're just trying to do something you never done before. You're trying to believe that I'm talking to somebody. You're trying to believe in something you never believed before. And you may look goofy and it may be embarrassing and you may walk funny. But God's saying, come on, baby, you can do it. I got faith in you. He's on the right hand of the Father saying, come on, I know you can do it. I believe in you. Listen, down is not your destiny. Help me, Jesus. We're just trying to balance. I'd rather have a bunch of church people walking kind of weird than sitting still. I'd rather have a couple of people holding hands with other people than staying down in their mistake and in their sin and in their brokenness. I'm talking to some people today. You may not say amen, but that's okay. Look straight ahead. Act like I'm not talking to you, but I'm here to tell you today, down is not your destiny. Mistake I may have made, but I'm not a failure. Hallelujah. I got news for you. We serve a God that will pick you up when you fail. We serve a God that'll get you back on course. He's a God that says you may have made a mistake, but try again. Try again. Do it again. Stand up again. Try to walk again. Hallelujah. I praise Him for what He's done in my life. I wouldn't be here today without what He's done in my life. He saved me, healed me. He set my feet on a firm foundation. He can't do that for me, Pastor. You're wrong. You're allowing the devil to speak to you, and the devil is a liar. I was praying. God spoke to me. I don't take that lightly. Some of you don't believe that He spoke to me or speaks to me. That's your problem. He said, tell my people, and every one of their mistakes is a hidden door of discovery. Your mistake becomes a portal of impossibilities. Your mistake becomes a catalyst to get you to God, to reevaluate your life, to get rid of your sin. Are you following what I'm saying? You serve a great big God. Wednesday night I preached about a great big God, and I want you to understand that we don't talk about Him being a great big God anymore. He is a great big God, and if He's a great big God, He's worthy to be praised. Listen, did you notice the statement I made? I said, if He is. You know why? Why? Because we want to just act like everything's the same or God's not who he says he is. He might be, but we're not sure. Listen, the Bible says he shall come to you. That shall is enough. Shall changed my life. Shall made my mistakes and my sins disappear. He cast them in the sea of forgetfulness so that I could be made whole. I may be down, but I'm not staying here. If I'm not careful, my mistakes will become my prison. But God wants your mistake to be a pathway to him. Oh, Lord. He doesn't want us to be shut down, broken down. Oh, Jesus. It's not my destiny. The devil wants it to be replayed in my mind over and over again. You know, my pastor, Brother Barr, we were at somewhere. I think we were eating at Wendy's, to be honest. And I was talking to him, and I was talking about sin and stuff. He said, yeah, you know what? He has these words of wisdom sometime. And I should just sit with my phone open. And every time he says something, I should type it down. And then I should steal it for mine because they're amazing. But I'm never smart enough to do that. That's my mistake. But he said, you know what? He said, the devil is the type of person that will tell you, oh, you can do that. That's not a big deal. Hey, no one's going to know. And then as soon as you make the mistake, he's going to say, look what you did. Do you really believe that God can help you? Look, you don't serve God. If you serve God, you wouldn't have done that. Why? What does the Bible say? He is the accuser of the brethren. He's after you. He wants you down. If you're down, you're broken. If you're down, your vision's not correct. You're not looking to heaven. You're looking at the problem. You're looking at the issue. Sometimes my issues are great big mountains, and I can't go over it, and I can't go under it, and I can't go around it. But God can help me. God told me, I will not define you by your mistakes. That's the spirit of the elder brother. The elder brother defines people by their mistakes. The father doesn't define people by their mistakes. Don't join the devil and define people by their mistakes. Oh, God. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to come to you again. He wants to pour out on you. He wants to control you. Well, Pastor, I was good until you said that. Do you know what Lord means? It means master controller. So when you call him Lord, you're saying, Lord, take control of my life. Not I want to do this and then repent for it every time. Paul said, I made a terrible mistake, but I received mercy. Oh, I've made mistakes. I've made hundreds and hundreds, thousands, millions of mistakes. I wish somebody would shout, I'm a debtor to his grace. I'm a debtor to his mercy. I'm in debt to the patience of God. I'm in debt to the mercy of God. You know what? I'm in debt to the power of God. But he spoke into my life and he lifted me up and he transformed this broken down, messed up being. At our best, we're a mess. At our best, we're broken. But Jesus Christ makes us and mends us. You know why Humpty Dumpty couldn't get put back together? He didn't have Jesus. That's the dumbest thing I ever said. Nursery rhymes and Jesus. Somebody just said, I love you, Jim Bob. That's like, you'll be okay, honey. We've dealt with all kinds of problems and situations. And I know that there are people in this building have been spared by a merciful God, a merciful master. You made some horrendous mistakes. Listen, I'm not trying to be pastoral, but I've seen all the skeletons in this building, or most of them. I've got skeletons myself, but I want you to understand, I don't need to go any further, but I'm going to say this. Hell wants to wound you, but heaven wants you to win. Hell wants to chain you, but heaven wants to change you. Hell wants to shatter you, but heaven wants to salvage you. Hell, oh my God, hell wants to keep you down, but heaven wants to lift you up. Hell, he wants to bless you. Listen, heaven wants to bless you, but hell wants to break you. Oh, heaven wants to bless you, but hell wants to burn you. Are you following what I'm saying? That's good stuff. Hell wants to destroy you, but heaven wants to employ you. Oh, yes. Okay. One more. Hell wants to slay you, but heaven wants to save you. I'm telling you right now, we serve a Savior. He is the Redeemer of every mother's child. I'm glad I had a mother, because that counsel, that includes me, and it includes you, and you, and you, and you. Oh my God, he's wonderful. Saul made a terrible mess in Acts chapter 9, attacking the Christian church, persecuting them and killing them. God stops him in his tracks, knocks him off his donkey. That's a great statement. We find it in the book of Job, Job 22 and 29. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. You know, I got that verse wrong. Spirit spoke to me as I was writing. And he said, that's wrong. You're wrong. I went back and looked it up, and I said, Lord, I wrote it right. When men are cast down, then thou shalt be, then when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He said, why do you keep putting an A in the sentence? Because, Lord, there's a lifting up. He said, don't change one dot or one tittle. He said, because if there's an A in there, it means I lifted you up once. But if you take out the A, let's read it. If you take out the, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. What is he saying? I'm continually lifting you up. If you put an A, it's one time. If you take the A out, he's constantly moving. He's constantly speaking. He's constantly, and there is no A in sentence. I want you to understand, God wants to touch you. He wants to pick you up. He wants to make you whole. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. See, I did it again. There is lifting up. The humble person is the one that says, I've sinned. I've blown it. I've made a mistake. I've said what I shouldn't have said. I've did what I shouldn't have done. Let me try it again. I have fallen, but that's not my destiny. I've been broke, but I shouldn't stay broken. I made a mistake, but I'm not a failure. Our drive is to discover the door that is hidden in the failures and mistakes, and allow Jesus to speak into us and change what we've done inside both issues. I want you to understand, there is a response that Jesus calls us. Listen, in the midst of our failure, in the midst of our brokenness, I'm going to tell you, by this response, I don't think that you believe what I'm saying. That bothers me. Let me just try it one more time. When I'm working in the house and I don't like mistakes. Do you like mistakes? I'm working in the house and I almost get myself electrocuted. I don't like those mistakes. You following me? When I'm chopping some kind of something that cake makes me cut up and I cut my finger, I don't like mistakes, because mistakes cost me. Mistakes, listen, they come against me. You following me? Oh, do you know what a mistake can do to you if you continue to dwell on it and stay down? Listen, you're defined by your mistakes, but Jesus Christ doesn't define you by that. When I write something and I put it the wrong way, it bothers me. It bothers me. Does it bother you? Mistakes make you feel like you're stupid. The only thing worse than the mistake is being in the spiritual realm and spiritual people telling you that you're stupid. Oh, well, we lost everybody. Bear with me. I'm trying to decide whether I go hard or go home. Help me right now. The Bible says Abraham lied 2 different times about his wife. You know, I've got a lot of money in my pocket right now, probably $7. I'll give you all the money in my pocket if you show me when he lied twice about his wife, God ever brought it up. No, you didn't get it. You serve a God that when you make a mistake, he sets on the understanding and says, I'm not going to rub it in your face. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to hold you hostage. All I want you to do is repent. I'm not going to hold back your promotion. I'm not going to hold back what I've called you to be. I'm putting a premium on who you are, not your mistake. I don't want you to stay in your mistake. I don't want to put a premium on your mistake. I want you to understand I've sinned and I want to come close to God. Listen, there is nobody better than someone that's close to God. Oh, Jesus. Don't waller in your mistake. You got to move on. Apologize when you need to. Repent when you need to. But we got to move on. I'm going to tell you something I hope you hear today. Conviction is the voice of love. Conviction doesn't condemn. It tries to correct and help. We turn around and we use our mistakes as something that we can use as an excuse to keep us down. But God wants you to go beyond. Oh, Jesus. You know, I love Elijah. He's probably my second or third favorite character in the Bible. I think it's because I relate to Peter. But Elijah made a terrible mistake. The Bible says he ended a three-year drought with a 63-word prayer. Brings fire down from heaven, then pours water on the altar. He makes Ahab look like a complete nut. Elijah outruns a chariot 19 miles to Jezreel. I mean, think of all these things. Then he gets a call from Jezebel, that harlot. She said, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. He abandons ship. He runs away from the only person that can help support him. He runs up into the wilderness and into the desert, 90 miles away from where he was at. He leaves his only encouragement. And I need to say that again, because sometimes you won't call for encouragement because you think it's your fault. But here, you don't want nobody to know that you made a mistake. You don't want anybody to know that you made that you've sinned. Huh? I can get some amens in the house for that, right? And so you leave your encouragement behind. But this blows my mind. All the conversations that God had with this prophet, he never brings up his failure. He never brings up his mistake. He never brings up that Elijah had all this going for him and he got down. He never brings it up. God, listen, will never leave his people. He is with you. He is for you. He is standing right beside you. Listen, you may not want to call me. You may not want to call the leadership or your spiritual guru, but all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. You got to guard yourself before this life is over against the older brother mentality. When the son came back from doing everything that he had done, when he came home, the older brother, he damned him and condemned him and he marked him and he held him hostage. He said, you messed with loose women, disgraced our house, lost your inheritance, you shamed our name. The old man is looking at the top of the building, waiting for his son to run out of mistakes. Because when he run out of money, he run out of mistakes he could make. He's looking for him. He didn't run out and say, you've damned us, you've shamed us, you've condemned us. What have you done? No, he ran to him. He hugged him. He put the robe on him. He put the ring on his finger. He gave him the special ruby slippers. I'm telling you right now, he began to move on his son. It was the older brother that condemned him. It was the older brother that said, you're broken. You'll never be part of the family again. But God will bring you back. He'll hug you. He'll put the slippers on. He'll put the robe around you. And he'll call you an heir to the throne. You get a revelation on the other side of the mistake. The boy got a revelation like he never had before. After the mistake, after the failure, after the sin, the Father shows up and he shows grace and mercy. He shows love and patience and kindness. And this boy discovered something he never knew about his father. And that is, son, no matter what you do, you can come home. No matter what you've done, you can come home. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? There may be some people in here that have slipped away from the presence of God. No matter what you've done, you ain't been bad enough to come home. No matter what kind of mistake. Oh, I'm talking to somebody this morning. He is a healer. He is a redeemer. He wants you back. The boy never really knew how much that he meant to the father. Oh, that's what happens when you realize you've made a mistake. When you move in the direction of God, sometimes you don't even have to move. You just got to realize. And then God will say, oh, I've been waiting on that. I've been waiting on you to realize that you made a mistake. The boy never knew how much the father really loved him. How much you really meant to him. When we move in the direction of God, God will show us love. Sometimes when we can't move, but we know God will show us love. God has shown me love. His love is not like our love. We love in boundaries. As long as you fit into my boundary, I'll love you. But the Bible says that Jesus loved with unfailing, undying, never relenting love. It's a love that won't let you go. Jacob lies and deceives his father. Jacob is a scam artist. He's a cheat. Jacob is a fake. But then God meets him in Genesis 28. And he says, I think I'll bless the cheat. Now, hang on a minute. Yeah, I'm messing with your theology. I think I'll bless the scammer. I think I'll bless that messed up mistake maker. You're not getting it yet. There's a revelation that comes with your mistake. There's a revelation that comes with your failure. There's a revelation that comes with your sin. I'm not saying go out and sin. I'm not saying use it as a crutch for your life. Don't get me wrong here. What I'm saying is sometimes you make a mistake and the revelation God gives you. You know, I've been greatly blessed. God has been merciful to me. And I wouldn't understand how to preach this to you without the mercy that God has given me. I'm telling you, He's a merciful Father. Grace runs after you. And I'm telling you, He wants to move on your life. He doesn't want you to remain where you're at. He doesn't want you to remain broken. He wants to pick you up and make you whole. There's a revelation that comes. God didn't make anybody do it, but He gives you wisdom after you've done it. When Simon Peter lied and denied that he ever knew Christ, the Bible says he ran out into the night weeping bitterly. We all know the story. Jesus met with him on the beach in John 21. But there's something that I've never seen before. It's a revelation to me. It's a revelation. The Bible says when those guys from Emmaus came back, it's Luke 24. You should go home and read it. It says the Lord has met with Simon. It's a revelation. There was a secret meeting, a record that God showed us, but was never explained. Don't I wonder what was said there? I can see Simon Peter after the betrayal. His head is down. He's embarrassed. He's shuffling. You know, when I do something wrong, I shuffle. Looking down. He's shuffling. He's humiliated. He's ashamed of himself. I'm sure Jesus never brought up his mistake. He didn't say, all right, Peter, I was going to build my church on you, but you didn't do what you were supposed to. You're a sinner. You're a mistake maker. You're a failure. Give me the keys back. That's not what he said. When God calls you, he gives you a gift. He's not going to dismiss it. But you got to come home. He's not going to let it go because you made a bad choice. He's not going to stop you from what he gave you because of your failure. But you got to repent. It's not going to be the end because you had a misstep. The devil is a liar if you believe that. Jared, I'm about done. Samson was the judge of Israel. One of my favorite stories of the Bible. Samson was more like a vigilante. He slayed the Philistines. He slept with their women. He tortured them by tearing down the gates of their city. He killed 1,000 of their men with the jawbone of a donkey. And afterwards, he stopped to take a drink out of the same jawbone. He tied 300 foxes' tails together, burnt their crops. But he made a critical mistake. It cost him his vision. It was a mistake that cost him his freedom. I believe there are many church people that are bound and blind. But you show me one time that God brought up his sin to him. He paid dearly. It was his fault. He got stuck around a mill because they shaved off his glory. And as he walked around the mill, he began to think about what he had done wrong. He began to think about it so much that the Bible says he prayed. I'm sure he prayed a vigorous prayer. I'm sure he prayed every day. I'm sure his hair grew back and he had a couple spikes. And then it began to lay down. And Judges chapter 16 verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. See, he didn't feel like he was enough. He didn't feel like a treasure to God. He felt broken. He said, oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this one time, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistine for my eyes. God, they took my godly vision. They took my physical vision. Another verse says, then Samson prayed to the Lord's sovereign Lord. Remember me, please God, strengthen me just once, one more time. Let me with one blow get a revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. They were having a party. They had conquered this man that came against them. A little boy walked him around, the Bible says. I picture that little boy like Wyatt. Samson, big and massive, kind of like me. That little boy like Wyatt. Hey, what happened to you? Hey, how come you don't have any eyes? Hey, how come that you're strapped to that thing walking in circles? Hey, where did you used to go? Hey, are you Israeli? Hey. Samson thought, dear Lord. And that little boy held his hand. I almost had Wyatt come up here and do a demonstration, but I knew everything would be tore up by the time he got down. Walking. And he could hear the roar of the crowd as he got in the Colosseum. And he said to the little boy, place my hand on the pillar. That little boy took that massive hand and he reached over and he placed it on that pillar, and he took the other hand and he placed it on the other pillar. And Samson began to pray. See, listen to me. As they mocked him, they didn't understand. No one took note that his hair had grown back. No one took note that God had not judged him. Are you hearing me? No one took note that God did not leave him behind. No one took note that all he could see was through the spiritual. No one took note that they hadn't bound him anymore. Oh, but his glory was his prayer. The whole time it wasn't his hair, it was his prayer. Your prayer life will change you. And as he stood between the pillars, listen to what this verse says in Judges 16:30. It says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. He bowed, you know why? Because he was about to press. He was about to take care of everything that had come against him. He was about to take care of his mistake because he turned it over to God. He was about to avenge himself for his sin because he lost his eyes and he wouldn't listen. He was about to avenge. God gave him the ability to come against the people that come against Israel because of his prayer, not because of his mistake. And he bows and he begins to push with everything in him. I can see that the veins pop out of his head and he begins to push. Listen. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. the latter rain is going to be seven times greater than the former rain. I'm going to praise. I'm not going to lay in my mistake. I'm down, but down is not my destiny. I've made a mistake, but I'm not going to stay there. I may be a failure, but I'm not going to stay a failure. Are you following me? Lord, right now, if you'll stand with me, God, I pray that you touch this people. Don't let my mistake hold me in bondage. Don't let my mistake hold me hostage. Don't let it chain me down. Don't let your...
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.